הבריתי שלו.
Just want to say that Rav Dror gave a shiur yesterday in Tom Nachman's house. And I recorded it. And I heard it more than once. I just want to say it's a very, 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 very fundamental shiur. Very deep, very fundamental. And if someone really wants to learn how to serve Hashem, you should hear the shiur again.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Good sir.
Hear the shiur again and look what it, see what the main point is, that the person not to be part of the flock. Flock? Flock, you say?
Flock.
Yeah.
Like a flock of sheep.
Right. In serving Hashem, you can't be part of a flock. You have to find your own way, your own path, your own mission in life. Because each one has a different mission from the other. And each one has his own abilities, and only he has those abilities to fulfill. It's a very special shiur, very special. Okay, now I'll scare you a little bit. A person who learns Torah without guarding the eyes, it all goes to the other side. That's called a Jewish demon in the Zohar Kadosh. Now everyone feels calm? Good. And it's written explicitly by Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzera, that it's no worth the Torah that he's doing, the mitzvahs that he's doing, if he doesn't keep the brit. Okay, now everyone's calm. Now, so we could leave, right? What are we doing here?
What if you're helping me divide?
We try.
The point is that we daven for it. If a person is working, like I said, I heard it from Avshalom now recently, but it's clear, it's a pashut. Any Torah that's going to distance you from Hashem, don't listen to it, okay? Even if it's the biggest tzad, even if Rabbi Nachman tells you that Torah and distances you from Hashem, don't listen to him. It's asur to listen to that. Only Torah that brings you close to Hashem. Okay?
What?
That will bring you close to Hashem. If that Torah right now is distancing you from Hashem, so don't listen to it. So how can we explain this? That what? So my Torah is not, I go on the street, I don't grab my eyes 100%, that's what I want, and I daven, and I'm working, and Hashem is not expecting me to be an angel in one day, but Hashem is expecting me to work. So, very simple. We do our thing, and let Hashem do His thing. Our thing is to serve Hashem, to try to serve Hashem what we can, to daven, I want to guard my eyes, Hashem help me today, I won't look at what I don't have to look, I don't want to see. Is that very simple? But if a person does not care, so yeah, his Torah goes to Sitracha, and it's the Torah misses, it's not worth anything, not because he does not appreciate it. He doesn't care, that's why it's not worth anything. It says that in Shemaiah, a person's reward is not only the fact that he's doing and not doing, is that how much he considers what he's doing. Do you know that you putting on tefillin, you're changing the whole world? Do you know that? Ah, do you know when we learn the Torah, when we help someone do chesed, when we daven, right? The whole world is standing on me right now, and on us as a group right now, because it says in the Mishnah, the world is standing on Torah, v'avodah, yudas chasadim. So I appreciate it. You appreciate it? You're happy with it? It's worth a lot more than stop a person learning Torah with as a punishment. He feels in jail.
So in your school over here, in the growth, if the child, you're learning something in the class with the teacher, and the child says, I would rather really be outside playing. For me, this is torture. Do you make him sit through that, or does he ever go outside and play?
I have no idea what goes on there.
Well, I mean, based upon what you just said, wouldn't you be obligated to let that child go out and play?
I would think that you'll be obligated to show him the beauty of the Torah and the beauty of Hashem. Instead of telling him, you're right, go and play. The fact that a person does not love his learning, not love Hashem, not love, is because they're not showing him to him in the right way. What is the reason that my son is 10 years old and he can sit 3 hours by himself with no teacher, no one, and just learn Gemara by himself. He's 10, and the other kids do not. It's a lot of times, it's not only him. If it was him, I would say to find he's unique, he's bright, he's this, he's that. It's not him, it's almost the whole class is like that. The whole school is like that. Why is that? It's the way they propose the Gemara to them. In such a beautiful way, such an excitement. Such a, the kid doesn't know what he's doing, but he gets excited, right? Yeah. When he grows up, he'll have sechel.
You know, I've seen so many schools in America where the kids aren't like that. And I've seen them, they're like, it's a drudgery. Oh, I have to go to school. My parents are here.
Of course, like me, but me with us like that. I hated school.
And they're rebellious, you know.
Of course.
They'll do stuff to get, you know, sent home. Anything. They're just like so unhappy.
Most kids say, look, Shivi. So they fight inside. Between Torah and all their life.
Right. Also, right. They watch TV. There's a lot of things that are drawing them away from
video games.
Yeah, anything moving. It's known. It's nothing to do with Judaism. Anything moving in front of their eyes is more and colorful. Is more exciting than words in the book, right?
Right.
So what do you expect from a kid? Yeah. You put him in front of a book. He loses. He has no concentration anymore. When your kid doesn't know anything, he doesn't know my phone I don't let them play with. The only games they know is the games like the board games and then dolls and stuff like that they have at home. And you isolate them from all the garbage so they can focus. And also it's how their teachers represent it to them. And if the parents love the Torah also. I have cousins in America, they grew up in America. And all their children, all their boys, they love learning Gemara. They love learning Gemara. They don't have video games, they don't have TV, they don't have their computers just by their parents what they need for their emails. They're very disconnected from all that garbage. They have beautiful kids. I mean, they're all grown up already, yeah? Almost all of them married. Already. Beautiful, mamash, beautiful family. Why? Because the parents love the Torah and donate the money to the Torah and they connect them with good kids. And it's a lot of stuff, a lot of details. And the main thing is, this generation, it's just the cry out to Hashem. Because the kid walks in the street and it's Tom here. And there's naked ladies walking in the streets and you're going here and there and what are you going to do? It blemishes the kid's neshama. Even though he has no lust, he doesn't understand what he sees. It blemishes his tuma. It's a tuma. Chas v'shalom, not the lady who's walking. She's not tameh, she's a holy lady, she's a pure neshama. But that scene is a tuma scene. There's a set, every woman walking in the street, there's a shed, there's a demon around her. And that's what draws your eyes.
There's one more thing.
Hmm?
One more thing. We're all, our nefeshot, our animus soul, and the ruach, all comes from a certain part of either Adam, the man, and or Chava, the woman. It's common. Either the woman also comes from Adam, but any. Chava came from Adam, but there's a connection to what part woman, there's a certain part of Chava that their nefesh comes from. And depending on what part their nefesh comes from, determines how much of a strong draw that female will have to men.
Or the opposite of that part of the man, which is the female.
Now, let's say a woman goes by and the root of her soul is from the bottom of the big toe of Chava. It's not going to be very attractive. It may be more physically beautiful, but what? And then what? But if she's brought from part of the Erva, she may not be so beautiful, but it's something that just catches the person.
It's a holy neshama.
Yeah, but it.
Top of the kut.
And if she comes from. L-Y-L-Y, that guy's really in trouble.
The story about Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, Zatzal, that one day someone came into Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovitz, and which in the first look that you look at him, he looked like a Talmid Chacham, a Dayan, a Rosh Yeshiva, he wore a frock, I don't know, he looked very special. But this guy walked into the Rav, he sat next to him, and he waited for the Rav to turn to him to talk with him. But the Rav, not only did not talk with him, nothing, rather he also turned away his head to the other way, and did not agree in any, under any condition to look at the face of this person. This was for a long time, for long minutes. The Jew went out, so this is Rav went out, and then Rabbeinu said it, everybody said out loud, "Oy vey, he looks at women, I can't look at him. His outside is not like his inside. His inside, he's all looking at women. His outside looks like a Rav." All the machlokot, all the...
I'm confused. He looked like a...
He would look like a Rav, but right. Really he looks at women all the time. That's why Rabbi Yosef Leibovitz did not look at him.
So, he had all the titles of looking at women, and so his whole mentality was... like Esau, where all he was doing is looking up at women.
Right, but really he looked like a Rav. He was looking like he had a nice garment, nice clothing of rabbis, whatever. Yeah. All the machlokot, all the disputes, and all the negative words in Lashon Hara that was spoken against those which learn Torah, it all comes from Pgama Brit. A person who has Shmir Sinai does not argue on anyone. He only wants the success of everyone. He only wants that everyone be righteous. He wants everyone to be rich. He has nothing to do with someone else. He just wants to give good to everyone else. Right? Because a person who has Shmir Sinai, he has his own work, he's working on his own thing. What do I have to talk about the other? The other can take care of himself. I'll daven for him. I see a problem, I'll get daven for it. Not to talk.
What does that say about Korach?
Okay, exactly, Korach. All the jealousy and tacharut, competition between groups. Each one says, "My Rav is the truth, and my Rav is the truth, and our way, and this, and only this, and only that." Everything else is shtuyot, it's garbage. Only we are to have the right way. And my Rav is Rav Shalom. Who's your Rav? Is, what? That's your Rav? Yeah, that's not the truth. You have to come to my Rav. You must listen to my Rav. Your Rav is shtuyot. Come listen to good Rav. It all comes from Gaon Brit. That's who listens to the thing. You can say my Rav is good. I have a good way to go. To say that someone else is not good is us. Okay? By serving Hashem, there's no shaychus to machlekes. Each one is born where he's born, and he belongs to the place he belongs, and he gets close to Hashem through a rav, that this person is from his root. If Rav Shalom, if your root is in Rav Shalom's, it's like a tree. Rabbeinu explains this. There's a tree, and there's a trunk. The trunk of the tree is a tzaddik. The roots and the trunk of the tzaddik emes, only one soul, the neshama Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's branches, which are other tzaddikim, smaller tzaddikim. And the branches have smaller branches, which are tzaddikim, but smaller tzaddikim. And you could be the little leaf in there. So why are you connecting to that tzaddik and not to the other tzaddik? Because you are nourishing from that certain branch, meaning from that certain neshama. That's what you're going to receive from him and not from someone else. That's what Rabbi Abdul said yesterday, by the way. That there are certain people which I can't help. That's what he said. I can't help them. Only you can help them. And only you can help them. And only they'll come across your way. Because they have to do with you. They have to do with you. Each one. I can't deal with it. I can't talk with your parents. I can't talk with your brothers. I can't talk with your children. You, it's your job. Because they belong to you. In the root, I'm talking. Okay? But if we're sitting here together in one place and people know are taking from someone, so they have to do with his root too. And if certain people cannot take it from him, so they won't be here. Period. They're going to leave. Like with them. That's why some people, they hear Rav Shalom Siddi, Savati. But they hear a different Rav from Breslin. Whoa. Makara. Because they belong to that root. And you cannot say that, oh, you get that close to that. It's not true. Well, do it true or not true. Yeah. Besides, it says in Mishnah Novos, Ezu Chacham. Who is the wise person? He learns from every person. From everyone he learns. Sometimes some people you want to learn what not to do also.
Rabbeinu also warned that you learn from too many people, get messed up.
It's true too. Too many different ways, a person will get confused. It's true.
They have to be different people, but something
common.
Common denominator.
Yeah. What? Halacha, you choose one way.
Yeah,
halacha is very important. The Gemara says, halacha, you choose one rab. Hashkafa, you could have more than one rabbi. And then you look for your own way. Again, you take from the rab, your rab, and you find what your service is. How are you serving Hashem with that? Torah nun dalet, v'te moran. You have to see how what you hear belongs to your point at that time and age. As it belongs to you. Therefore, it's very sorry to see all kinds of type of people machloket between is Ashkenazi, is Sfaradi, is this Chassid, is that Chassidus, which cause all kinds of great sins. Ben Adam Lechaver, which is the worst sins, like Lashon Hara, Rechilut, slander, Hotzaat Shemra, Kaas, anger, Nekama, Netira, revenge. To go after the friend, no, not to go after the persecutor friend, albanat panim, talking against someone in public, people come even to hit people, shemra, mamash, all kinds of crazy things, and also what does the greatest thing, it does chilul Hashem. People have to say, that's the religious people? Okay, fine. I'll keep them there. I'm not getting close to Judaism. When you show people beauty and ahava and achdus, that we're all together. So then, people want to get close to Hashem. If you show them, don't go to that rabbi. Come to this rabbi. People ask me, what do you say about Nanach? I don't know. It's not my way. I don't know. I have my rabbi teaches me. They're very good. They make people happy. Speak the good about people. Very important. I say against anyone. Rav always asked him, "What do you say about Nanach?" He said, "It's not what I received from my rabbis." No, that's what he ended the conversation. You could say many bad things if he wants about anyone. But what's the point? I say only good things. But everyone, we love everyone. We want at least.
Do you try to do that?
I try all the time. It's not always easy. It used to be a lot harder. It all depends on Kedusha. It used to be a lot harder. I used to think bad about everyone all the time. I'm not embarrassed to say. I saw him move. It was bad. Look how he davens. Look how he's this. Look how he does. Doesn't know. He's that. Da, da, da. That's how my head was working all the time. And it all comes from Pagama Brit. That's what it comes from. If someone wants to start working on Kedusha, he's only good. He tries to see the good. It bothers him if he sees the bad in the other. Why am I seeing bad? I'm so bad. That's why I see the bad by other people. It's a reflection of me. And also, if a person does see that person's mistaken, so not to talk about him. He's daven that he'll do tshuva. Daven that he'll daven correctly. That he won't talk during davening. Well, you're not supposed to talk. I know you're not supposed to talk. He talks during davening. I know why. What's going on in his life. Well, Davin, then he won't talk to Davin. Try to encourage him, but then they talk, they're like, that's true, everyone talks, asul to go there, blah, 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 blah. You're causing machloket. Don't cause machloket. Call to.